It was, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. It was a couple of generations ago that an usher came up the aisle and handed a note to the pastor during the service. It was a day in which children were born in a bit different way than they currently are born. The note read, "You have a new son." The pastor was busy leading worship and preaching while his wife was tended to in a delivery room by doctor and nurse. Having read the note, the pastor sped off to the hospital about 12 miles away to see his wife and his new son. He was there when the nurse brought back the cleaned up little bundle of joy. The mother, having previously given birth to two full-term babies, looked at this new little one and said, "Isn't he homely?" Now, I suppose that medicines offered to a mother in the birthing process might have given rise to some such utterance. It is also true that this baby was born 3 weeks early, and unlike the woman's two previous births, full term, this one was born a bit wrinkled and not full and plump. Isn't he homely? I was that baby boy. I guess I've always been in a hurry in my life. I even showed up from my birth 3 weeks early. Now, my mom would be horrified if she knew that I was telling you that story this morning. Maybe her horror would decrease by some levels if I said that of all the families in the world to which I could have been born, God could not have chosen a better family for me. From the moment of my birth, I have been given God's grace beyond all reasonable expectation. It began with a mother who sang and prayed the faith into me before I could form thoughts and words. It included a larger family called Coltvet, for whom service and faith were active and daily parts of their life. It included a pastor father who faithfully served Lutheran congregations, large and small. I wish that everybody could say what I am about to say. There has not been one day in my life in which I did not know and believe that there was a Jesus who loved me and a Jesus who loved the world. Oh, there have been bad days in my life, including the day that Kathy and I lost our first child about halfway through gestation. But God's grace and love were always able to overcome the challenges of the day. From Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." I have not deserved my family. I certainly have not deserved the gifts that have been heaped onto me every day since. Now, like most of you, it's easy to catalog the very best gifts, the largest gifts in my life. It would include a loving wife of 46 years. It would include three extremely talented children. It includes six grandchildren who bring life and light and joy to our lives. It includes secure homes, even though money may have been tight or non-existent in many of those years. It has included good and meaningful employment for Kathy and for me. It has included gifts, education that are not present everywhere in the world. Those great gifts of God have included you. God has always surrounded us with the loving people of God, people that we have not deserved. Over these past few weeks, and especially in these last few days, Kathy and I have spoken personally with hundreds of you. You have been so kind. But you have been kind not just for a few weeks, you've been kind for decades. You have thanked us for spending 24 years with you, but that goes both ways. We are grateful to you for being gifts in our lives, or we would not have been here this long. We do not deserve you, yet we have you. We have found great leadership in this place, and Bethel has harnessed that leadership to do tremendous things. We have found a gift of worship and music here that has fueled our spirits. We have found people eager for the word, hungry for the gifts of God. We have found those who are willing to serve right here locally in our neighborhood and all the way across the world. We have found friends. Almost blew it at this last sermon. But I have never begun a sermon without these words. Dear friends in Christ. That is not a simple salutation for me. It is a description of the people by whom God has blessed us. I cannot adequately describe the many ways in which you have blessed our lives, how you have supported our family, how you have welcomed us into your midst. I am a bit overwhelmed by it all and feel maybe a little bit like Jesus in our gospel today, who says, I have so many more things to be able to tell you. Or maybe the notion out of another verse in John in which it says, Jesus did many other things. But I suppose if they were all written down, the whole world could not contain the books. Could the whole world contain the books that would tell of the things, great and small, that you have done to serve God's people, and serve God's creation? But there is one thing that is enough. Also from John. John writes, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Last week, I said that if I could leave one abiding image with you, it would be of a good shepherd who holds his lamb in his arms. If I could leave one abiding truth with you today, it would be that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if I could leave one abiding hope for the future, it would be that you will always have life in Jesus' name. That is grace. It is gift. It is the pure gift of God. We do not deserve it, and yet here we have it. We have the best gift that could be possible in the entire universe. And Ephesians says that we have done nothing to deserve it, that it is all a gift from God. Now, while I know many of your stories very, very well after all these years, I do not know every one of your days leading to today. But this will be my prayer, leaving you today, is that every one of you will go from this day forward and never know a day in which you do not believe that there is a Jesus who loves you and holds you in his arms, even when you do not deserve it. Oh, I have received that grace upon grace from you in so many ways in these years, sometimes unexpected, sometimes even by rebuke. 10 and 11 years ago, our denomination was embroiled in controversy. It seemed in those days that I was carrying that entire controversy on my shoulders, my spirit waning week by week. It was Kathy and a Bethel leader that brought me out of that hole. It was about Thanksgiving in 2009 that Kathy said to me, "Norman, you don't smile or laugh much anymore." About that same time, a Bethel leader said, "Remember, Pastor Wall, this is not your church. It is God's church." I needed those two pieces of wisdom. I needed those gifts of God's grace. A Bethel parishioner writes to me after hearing quite an ordinary sermon, "Thank you for the words today. They were just what I needed. I will remember them forever." Oh, how God can take even the paltry words of a preacher and turn them into a mountain of grace. In these last days, in so many conversations with so many of you, you have brought up encounters and words that we have shared over these decades. Sometimes encounters and words that have been placed way back in the recesses of my memory. But you have graced me with those memories and that love again. I do not deserve that. And yet I have it. I do not deserve the best job in the world. I do not deserve you. I do not deserve a loving family. I do not deserve a saving faith in Jesus Christ. But our God is so, so generous. Thank you. Like Jesus, I suppose that I have so much more I could say. But I am not Jesus. I am just a simple lamb, as are you.